darling children, while I have been away from the West. Though you are strangers, I feel like I know you by the way that you treat me, offer to feed me, easily ask me to stay for a while. Sit yourself down in a pile here before me. I wish I had presents for each of your smiles, but I have been traveling with not much to carry, just a broken guitar case, tape on the side, a bag and a few signs to help me get right. Long Island Expressway, he says that his home has been covered with tar. I gave him a ride on the back of my suitcase. He says that he wants to stay here in your yard. At long last, his short life won't be quite so hard.
And that was Tony playing a very nice Gibson Hummingbird, a John Sebastian tune. And welcome, Tony, I should say, for your welcoming me to your parlour here. And so you're playing a rather special guitar anyway. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, it's quite sweet. This is something that just recently come to me kind of fortuitously through a friend. And it this belonged to Bob Dylan's security man, who was with him about 15 years. And the chap apparently was a very good friend of Bob's and his guitar tech at the time named Billy. And he, when asked what kind of guitar he should get, if he was going to get one, it would be, Bob and Billy both recommended that he gets a Hummingbird. So this is the guitar he got. And it's quite special because the guy didn't play guitar. So it sat, you know, kind of empty and unloved for since the 1970s. And it actually had the strings on it from that point in time. So we've restrung it and brought it back up to life, and it's an amazing, really amazing little example of a Gibson Hummer.
And unfortunately, it's sold already.
It has sold already. I've had it a day, so only momentarily spoiled.
So for listeners out there, I'm in a sort of an Aladdin's cave, really, here of most fantastic guitars I've seen this side of anywhere. We're talking vintage Gibsons, Martins, going back to the 30s.
30s, easily.
Yeah. Easily the 30s. It just puts all other guitar shops to shame, I must admit. But we're here down in Sevenoaks, so in the countryside, and people do beat a path to your door.
They do that. Yeah. And when I designed this as a model, it was one thing I realized in this business was, well, there are a couple things I realized. One was that there was not a consistent source of good vintage Martins and Gibsons in the country. You'll find the odd one here and there, but there wasn't a good source for it. And the other thought I needed to kind of propagate here was that I would provide all the classic models of Gibsons and Martins in depth. So you can come here and play seven vintage 00 Martin 18s. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to do something like that in order to get people to travel here and to see what we've done, and that seems to have worked.
Yes, and that way you can see if you've got a really good one, because if you're buying it in isolation in a shop which just happens to be lucky enough to get a 1950s 00 18, you've got nothing really to compare it with.
You've got really nothing to compare it with, and it's not even that one is worse and the other's better, it's that they are different. And you know, because at that point in time, all the necks were shaved by hand, guitars were built by hand, so even though you can have three 1953 00 18s, they're all going to be different in the hand and into the ear. So that's the great grace of this.
So why you've got a website,
right?
Replay Acoustics. Right. Why should a person buy a vintage guitar than a new one?
Oh, that's a sensitive subject.
Leaving aside the investment value.
I mean, investment I don't even speak of to my clients, but it's vintage guitars have had, they're built out of woods that were naturally aged. They were built at a time when first growth stock was still available of whatever tone was were being used. They were hand built, they were hand glued. They had the opportunity to use the best woods at the time and the best craftsmen at the time. And yet at that point in time, we were not using CAD machines and lasers to create these. So they had inconsistencies in them and do have inconsistencies in them that, in my opinion, have allowed the build stress in the guitar to relax and set into itself, which in turn allows the guitar to loosen up and become quite wonderful. I'm not finding that with the new stuff because it is built so perfectly that they have a real hard time letting the build stress dissipate. So I won't be around when the Collings has become great, because they were built so specifically and so tightly.
Right. So if somebody wants that now and they don't want to hang around 30 years,
right,
buy a vintage.
Buy a vintage. Yeah, you see in the market, there's all sorts of things going on to try to imitate vintage, vibrators and all sorts of torification of tops. And they're all trying to emulate a vintage guitar. Right. And there's reasons for that.
Let's give an example. Let's just pluck a guitar from about a huge number we've got here, just to give an example of what we mean by the sort of tone. Is there one we can just grab to give that
to? Anyone you want. Let's see. Pick this one here. Let's see.
Just happen to have to hand a
1937 0018.
Right.
The lovely thing about the golden era of Martin is before the war, all of their mahogany guitars had ebony boards and bridges. And so for me, ebony and mahogany is as magic a combination as rosewood and rosewood. An ebony board on a piece of mahogany is just brilliant. And you just touch these guitars and they light up. And they're very willing. They're set into themselves. It's obvious what you've got. You don't have to wait for it to become something else. The articulation is just quite spectacular, really.
Yes, and they inspire you to write music.
It's one of the things I try to do here with all my customers is get the right guitar for them. I'd rather them not buy a guitar than take the wrong one out of here. And so that's what we strive to do.
Can you tell us a bit about some of your customers without breaking any confidences?
Well, I have some pretty noteworthy clients that have come in here. The great joy of that is when a great player, someone who I have an enormous amount of respect for, comes in here and sets himself alight with a guitar that takes him places he's never been before. Mm-hmm. And I have had that happen with some people that you would know. I don't have permission to say names necessarily.
Right.
But after 3 hours...
So we're talking some of the, say, in the folk scene, people are pretty much big names,
yes,
as it were.
Yeah. And they have come in here and reduce us all to a state of exhaustion, really.
So let's, and going back to ones that have sadly passed on, John Renborn,
yeah.
He's been here.
Wiz Jones is...
thank God he's still with us.
Yes, thank God. Martin Simpson's a great client of mine and a wonderful man. And it goes on from there.
Yeah. So, when they first come to this room, do they get the same sort of wow factor that I got?
They do. That's the real treat for me.
Yeah, even so, these are guys who, you can't really get them to usually do that. You know, this is something which is, they've been everywhere, seen every guitar shop in the land and abroad, and then they come in here and they go, wow.
Well, they do. And that, for me, that's the greatest treat of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that kind of backs that all up to, they come in and obviously there's, here they are, 70 guitars hanging in here, but how good are they? And the other factor that we use here is I set everything up. Neck sets, whatever the guitar needs, new saddles, setups, frets if they need it. that org is done before the guitar hits the floor.
Yeah, so they're ready to play.
They're ready to play.
You gig the guitar that night.
You gig the guitar that night.
Okay.
And that gives an artist an opportunity to know exactly what he has.
Yeah, because you don't really know. I mean, we've all been in the position where a lot of people have that they've had a guitar, got it repaired, and actually then they
changes.
Not the guitar. It's not what I liked originally about it.
That's right.
This does happen.
That's very, 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 very true.
So should we try just to give a demonstration of an old Gibson? We've had an old Martin. Let's have an old Gibson. Sure. We've got a variety of guitars here. We've got J45s, J50s, 00s, and you know.
This is a script logo. Gibson J45, which was only made for a year and a half after the war. It's basically a wartime banner Gibson.
Right.
Without the banner.
Right. And these are sort of things that collectors would know, obviously, in terms of desirability.
Yeah.
So what year is this one?
It's 1946.
Right, let's hear what it sounds like. J45.
Notes in there?
Yeah, I don't think we noticed. But it's got that sort of... Well, if I said to you it sounded like a record, that's not really doing it justice, is it? It's better than a record. Yeah.
A lot of the guys that buy from me, they honestly don't take the machines out on stage with them.
No.
Simply because there's no need to these days. Everything that's run through a system can be manipulated.
Yeah.
So they use these guitars as inspirations. And that's the point I was trying to kind of lost before was the important thing with vintage acoustic guitars is when you set one in your lap that makes you play differently.
Yes.
And takes you someplace you haven't been before. That's when you know you're in the right
place. So these instruments really to write with, to record with.
Yeah.
But when you hit the road, get something which you don't mind if it gets lost.
Pretty much. Well, yeah. I do have guys that use them.
Yeah.
But this seems to be the way it goes. It's a tendency.
Yeah. More than so there's place for both a modern guitar and for the vintage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
And that's how it runs.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing the business?
Over 10 years now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm naturally an antique dealer. I was an antique dealer for almost 40 years in America. But the same rules for that business relate to this, which is, and I probably relate to any business, you know, do the best you can do. Put out your best product and be honest and true to that. And this has worked for us this way. I'm very, very, very lucky to have this niche.
And when clients buy from you, they can always go back to you again and upgrade whatever.
They can always come back to me.
It's a relationship rather than just going to a shop.
It is very much that.
Because it's a personal business, it's a personal relationship.
Yes, that's right. I spend a lot of time finding what I have here and deciding what should stay and what shouldn't stay. And when people buy guitars from me, I follow that up. I'm here for them. If there's any problems, which there are rarely because we take care of those first, I'm here, and if they want to trade it in, I've learned over the years that when you're dealing with inspirations, guitars can be what I call burned up. Mm-hmm. You use up the inspiration, and they become something you become very familiar with. And at that point, my musicians will then come back to me, and we'll take that guitar and trade it back in towards a new inspiration. And that's it's lovely because it builds me future stock.
Yes.
Which means I always leave a little bit of margin for myself, which gives them good value. And I like being able to answer the phone,
and
so that's important.
It's not a rushed environment. I know when I visit you, it's an hour, 2 hours. You have to allocate to have a cup of tea with you, and it's not the sort of rushing in and buying experience you get in most guitar shops.
That's exactly right. Yeah, no, I don't sell these guitars.
And there's no noise to distract you.
It's perfectly quiet, and I don't sell. I make tea.
Yes.
the guitars
sell themselves. Yeah. So do you exhibit much? I mean, you're going to be at Kempton Park, I believe.
For the first time.
There's a London guitar show, but it's in Kempton Park.
In Surrey.
And I think that's the 29th.
October.
And you'll be there.
I'll be there. Yeah. Having been an antique dealer for so long, I was really burned out on doing shows and fairs. But this one's close enough, and I can do it in a day. So we've signed up. We're going to be there.
Yeah.
We'll take a good representation of what we've got. And, it's a local fair for me, so it's within an hour. And that's an audience that I want to get.
Will you do more, or you see how sucky to see?
I won't go north. Mm-hmm. I don't see where that there's a reason to do that. If there's more shows within the area outside of London, I don't drive in London. Being an American,
people by and large beat a path to your door.
People beat a path to my door. If indeed they want to do it through the mail, what I do is I'll take payment and ship the guitar. They've got time to make sure it's the right thing. Yeah. If not, we just undo the deal.
Absolutely.
So that can be done. What I find is 90% of the time, guys will come in here for a particular thought they have in their head, a particular guitar, and they'll go out of here with something completely different.
Yes.
Because the experience and the wealth of this shop is being able to play 70 vintage guitars all at once. And that's why the pros come in here and they pick up instruments that they haven't had in their lap before. And so it's a real treat to see this happen.
Yeah.
It's a real joy. Truly.
Well, I can hear just by he was slightly touching the guitar. It has this nice resonant sound. You can tell just from that.
Yeah.
Shall we finish off with a little bit more of the guitar here that I'm holding in my hands, which used to belong to Mr. Dylan?
Sure,
maybe
sure.
Some of the DNA will pass through.
It will pass through. And,
before it leaves the building.
I'll do a last two.
Before Dylan or Robbie's guitar leaves the building.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Tony.
How have you been, my darling children? While I have been away in the west, though you are strangers, I feel like I know you by the way that you treat me, offer to feed me, eagerly ask if I'll stay for you.